Equipping the saints with sound biblical instruction. This is K-Wave 107.9.
Hello and welcome to Pastor's Perspective, brought to you by Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And starting today, I'm excited to say this. Almost ripped that in half. Sorry about that. But you are listening to Pastor's Perspective, sponsored by Biola University, ranked as the most comprehensively Christian university in North America. My name is Brian Perez, and we are here on this Friday afternoon. If you guys have questions for us, 888-564-6173 is the number to call. But I want to introduce my guests right now. We've got Dr. Ed Stetzer. You know Ed. He's been on the program several times now. He's become a regular here now. Ed is the dean of the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. He's also the host of Ed Stetzer Live, heard Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific time through the Moody Radio Network and here on our flagship station, K-Wave in Southern California. And, well, we have a guest with us today. This is Dr. Barry Gordy.
Barry
from Motown.
I was going to say, hey.
I blew that one. Barry Corey.
Take two.
Yes. It's live radio. We can't edit this. Yes. Barry Corey is the president of Biola University, and he is here in the studio with us today. I believe you've been on the program before, though.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan. Is it COVID. Ryan or Brian? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, like, well, that's well,
okay.
Well played, Barry.
Yes,
well played,
yes,
Barry.
Yes, yes,
so, thank
yes.
You.
We're going to do this the whole time.
The whole
it's
time.
Very confusing, because normally, like, I'm sitting in your chair. I'm in Brian Broderson's chair today because he's not here. But they're both Brian. So who plans a radio program with two Brians? I don't even know.
I worked at a radio station once where the new program director came along and he happened to have the same name as the guy that was on in the afternoon. So he kind of got rid of the guy in the afternoon.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And I said, why? He's a really good host. You can't have two guys with the same name here.
Like, and they literally like fired somebody. We're like, well, we gladly, Brian Perez is still here, even though Brian Broderson is also still here. Though not today. Though not today.
Not today. So. We've got Ed Stetzer and Barry Corey. And let's talk. Let's talk about higher education. Let's talk about Biola University. Let's talk about Christian colleges. Let's talk about why that might be the best avenue for high school students. We've got lots of kids that are going to be graduating this year, and a lot of them probably already have made their commitment for next year, but
for complicated reasons, they might not have this year. Global, everyone's reporting us all over is FAFSA. So the FAFSA system, in a perfect example of government inefficiency and struggle, has not told students their financial aid options as well. So it's a very complicated time. But we are excited. You just announced, of course, the partnership that we have with Biola University here and K-Wave. We're excited about it. And there's some history, related, that we've had in the past, the Biola Hour, all these sort of connections. So we're excited about that. I am here on Friday because Brian Broderson's not here, but I'll be here once a week as part of that partnership. And then sometimes some of our friends, other professors will come as well. But today, because we're announcing our partnership, we did bring on Barry Corey, and we're going to talk some about Christian higher education. Barry's the eighth president of Biola University, been there since 2007. And Biola University, I would say, is the leading Christian college in Southern California. Well, maybe I just say in the whole world, because that's I'm excited to be there. And a big part of that is Barry Corey. So we are going to take your calls. Our number is 888-564-6173. Maybe you got questions about higher education, Christian education, about Biola. Again, 888-564-6173. So, Barry, why does it matter? Why does Christian higher education matter in 2024?
Well, it's mattered for a very long time.
Yeah, I'll
say that, not just 2024. But I think it matters even more so now than ever. And I will say that because I just think that there is a steadfastness of Christian higher education that by and large hasn't equivocated, hasn't capitulated, hasn't drank the Kool-Aid, hasn't bought into whatever the fashionable ideology might be, the issue of the day. And I think that that's that stability, that steadfastness in Christian higher education. And that's what I think parents want. That's what students want. I've actually said recently that students come to Biola sometimes for what they want. They might, want to play NCAA Division II basketball, or maybe they want to go there because their youth pastor went there, or because, you know, we've got, you know, a Southern California campus.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe they just want to live in Southern California.
That's not a bad reason either.
Not at all.
So sometimes they come for what they want, but they discover what they need. And what they need during these most formative years of their life, right? Between 18 and 22, there's really not a four-year season developmentally where you grow as much intellectually and relationally and spiritually and socially and in some ways vocationally. So why not entrust those 4 years to a place that's going to be part of your journey and push you and challenge you, but not drag you down, but lift you up. I remember I was in with some high school juniors up in San Jose, California, a number of years ago, and I was talking to this one kid. I think his name was Ryan. And I said, "Like Ryan, like how are you going to make your decision?" He hadn't decided yet where he's going to go to college, about where you're going to go. And he said, "It's going to be based on two questions." I said, "Oh, okay. Inform me." He said, "One is, where do I want to be when I'm at my best? And the other is, where do I want to be when I'm at my worst?" So what do you mean by that? He said, "I want to be at a place where, like, when I'm really down, they lift me up, they surround me, they encourage me, faculty, professors, classmates, whatever it might be. But when I'm at my best, I want a place that, like, rejoices with me and celebrates with me." And I thought that was a great answer. It was about 4 years later, I was using that illustration in a chapel service, never talked to Ryan since then. And I told that story, and this kid yells out, "That was me."
No way. Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah. And then he came afterwards, he's about to graduate, and just said, like, "Hey, this is the place where I have been at my best, I have been at my worst, and I have grown and been formed spiritually, intellectually, socially, relationally, through it all."
And they don't, we don't encourage yelling out in chapel normally, but in that case, that would be...
Depends on what you yell.
It depends on what you yell.
I come from a Pentecostal background.
You do, exactly.
Lots of yelling.
And that's probably one of the things worth discussing, too, because, you know, you're here at Calvary Chapel, Brian Perez, Barry's got a Pentecostal background. I came Christ in the charismatic movement of the Episcopal Church with a weird background, Southern Baptist along the way. You know, one of the things that's maybe both a beautiful thing and a challenging thing is it's a multi-denominational but evangelical setting. Mm-hmm. So maybe explain some of what that looks like. Because we got Pentecostals and Presbyterians and we got Lutherans and but there is still a common... Well, you explain it.
Yeah, well, so there's an orthodoxy to Biola in the truest sense of, like, theological depth and thoughtful biblical approach to everything that we do. You know, we started as the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, BIOLA. That's how it all...
Do you know people, like, don't know that? I thought everybody knew that, but people,
they don't,
like, say to
no.
me... Yeah, because I was making a joke about we're trying to do some stuff in L.A. I want to put the L.A. back in Biola, and people are like, "Well, what do you mean?" So, but anyway, sorry, keep going.
Right, we're not a bio lab. Right. Some people might think. The fact that we are remaining deeply biblical gives us permission to be this multi-denominational university with 5,300 students or so. We had a donor a number of years ago. He's actually 102 this summer. Ed knows him. His name is Fred Waugh, and he and his wife gave a major, major, major gift to Biola to start the Center for the Work and Study of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And they said, "Well, you know, we could have done it at these other places and named some more traditionally Pentecostal schools, but we know that if we do it here, people will say this center is being grounded and guided biblically."
Right.
And I think that's and our students come from these wide range of backgrounds. I have a friend that I pray with every Friday morning, 5:15 in the morning my time and 8:15 in the morning his time. He's in Boston, this Harvard-educated lawyer, sharp guy. He grew up Orthodox Presbyterian, you know, very, very reformed. I grew up, my father's an Assemblies of God minister. And we've been praying together for 22 years, did so this morning. And he said, "You know the difference between my church and your church?" And this is the point I'm trying to make. I said, "Well, I know a lot of differences between the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and the Assemblies of God." And he said, "The difference is this. At my church, at the end of every pew was a Westminster Catechism." He said, "At your church, at the end of every pew is a box of Kleenex." And he said, "My church needs more Kleenex. Your church needs more Westminster Catechism." And I believe that to be true. And this is the beautiful thing, I think, about Biola is we take theological depth with dead seriousness, but we allow the work of the Spirit to be alive in this rising generation of students that want to go to make a difference in the world for the cause of Christ, whatever their vocation
might be. And fun fact, I got an email while we're sitting here from Tim Pickavance, one of our professors. So they actually teach the Westminster Standards at Biola, and in addition to have the Center for the Study of the Holy Spirit as well. So we're for Calvary Chapel Bible College is, yep, you know, absolutely, be connected with us. There are Christian institutions in and around Southern California. This radio show goes out all over the place as well. So why would you say that a parent today would want to encourage their grandparent today? You know, because I mean, this year has just really laid bare some of the craziness that's going on in American universities. And as I keep seeing the news and seeing this kind of this unchecked just embrace of so many counter-Christian or unbiblical ideas, almost where, like, if you don't hold those ideas, like, you're in trouble. I am encouraged to be at Biola, where we walk and seek to stay rooted in God's Word, you know, 100-plus years in that space, others as well. So why would you encourage as part of that? Because we know that a state school is going to be less expensive, and expense is an issue that people deal with today. You know, Biola, since it's a larger university, we have more options. Sometimes Christian schools are smaller. But why?
Yeah, it's not just that other colleges have unbiblical views. I think there are places that just like where is your center of morality? Where is your conscience? And obviously this was laid bare somewhat in December with the congressional hearings and the presidents of three very well-respected institutions, two in my home state of Massachusetts and one in Pennsylvania. And regardless of what you might think of those hearings, I think what most people heard that could just separate the political part was that there's this lack of moral clarity coming out of these institutions of higher learning.
Now, and let me interrupt really quick. What were these hearings about, in case people are wondering? I don't remember what happened in December.
They're hearings about, like, how colleges responded to the Israeli-Hamas conflict and anti-Semitism on campuses, and, you know, the comment was made. I'm not even going to quote it because I might get it wrong. Yeah. But basically, that, you know, that they were just kind of ducking and weaving, and not threading the needle, saying this is what we stand for, this is right, and this is wrong.
Yeah, and it was kind of around a violation of their free speech policy, and some people would say, you know, it's calling for, you know, the destruction of Israel, and, you know, and
genocide,
couldn't say
of
this
Jews
is wrong. Yep. This, you know, anti-Semitism is wrong. But where do you stand on a wrong when you don't have any basis upon where you stand what's right? And I think a lot of that was laid bare here.
Yeah.
And I think we would just simply say that we want to stand on what the teachings of God's word says, and that's not always easy in California either, because that goes countercultural as well. So keep going. Keep telling us more. Why would it matter?
Well, I mean, you know, I grew up as a pastor's kid, so I would often hear, you know, the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and will ever be. And though the flower fades and the grass withers, the word of God stands forever. And I just think that is what is foundational to a place like Biola. It's not that we're a Christian institution, but, like, we deeply believe that there is something that is transcendent, something that is eternal, something that is abiding and lasting, that is good. And many would say that, like, well, you know, you're a kind of a countercultural institution. And I think proudly so.
Nowadays, for sure.
Yeah. And we have sexual ethics at Biola that some people say that's on the wrong side of history. Mm-hmm. We have single-sex residence halls at Biola. And people say, like no one does that anymore. Well, yes, they do. And there's something good about that. I was in the office of the president of Catholic University in Washington, D.C. It's a rather conservative Catholic school. The president, John Gardner, had been the dean of the law school at Boston College, and he and I were together. He had his golden retriever in there. It was just kind of a cool moment, a little fireplace going. And when he became president, he said one of the first things I did was I changed the co-ed floors to single-sex floors. And he said people were freaking out, students were protesting, and people were going, like, you're going backwards. Mm-hmm. And he said, let me show you the evidence, and pulled out some, you know, hookup culture, binge drinking, retention, grade point average, success after college. And he said, if this is what you want for your daughters and sons, then maybe they would be better off in a single-sex floor.
Crazy thinking.
Yeah, so, and I just think that, we haven't changed the way we are. And we are conservative as a university as it relates to conserving the way God intended things to be. We don't talk about that necessarily in political ways, but we are deeply conservative because God created institutions to be a certain way, and truth and beauty and goodness to look a certain way, these transcendent virtues. And so this is who we are. And so when it, back to your question, Ed, when it relates to what's happening in colleges today, I see a lot of impassioned ignorance, not just in students, but sometimes even in faculty, that you kind of get on board with what the latest thing is, and you feel like, well, you know, I'm just going to join the group, the tribe, and head in a certain direction, and like without even thinking about it. And I use a couple of metaphors for Biola. You know, one would be we're not a bubble to protect students. That's not who we are. But we're not a boot camp to indoctrinate students. We are much more a greenhouse where students think and learn and process ideas and learn how to engage Christianly with a Christian mind. You know, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'll tell students, I'll say, like, you want to be an activist? Wait till you graduate. Like, when you're here, like think and allow formation to take place and develop your ideas. This is going to kind of gets back to my whole trite little thought about life with a firm center and soft edges.
Oh, gosh, that's your book. That's something you've talked about a lot, and it's really kind of caught on. People have talked about, and I use the phrase now, that you want to be, as a Christian, you want to have a firm center, strong beliefs, but then how you engage others is, you explain it. How do you articulate it?
Well, that's articulated very well by Ed Stetzer.
He's good at that.
Yes. I mean, There might have been a generation with firm center and hard edges. Everything was a battle to fight. Everything was a grenade to launch, and the other side, you win them over by beating them up and, you know, and conquering them. And I'm not sure that got us very far necessarily. But I don't want the pendulum to swing the other way, where this generation says, you know, we don't have soft edges in this spongy center and live and let live, and whatever you believe is good for you. And that's not what the gospel calls us to. And so I do believe, I actually believe this like passionately, that the antidote to so much that is wrong in our world today is that we need this generation of students. You know, we got 5,000 plus at Biola, and what a difference they can make if they can graduate Biola with a deep sense of conviction. I mean, our students undergraduate take 30 units of Bible, biblical studies, theology, Christian thought. Like, that's unheard of these days.
So they come out with a minor, and I love that. My daughter's a student at Biola.
Yes, she is.
I love that. So, yeah.
And what's her major?
She's a psychology.
Yep.
She's in the Torrey Honors Program, which is kind of this wonderful program.
But
she majors in psychology. And, of course, all the students come out with a minor in basically Bible and theology. Because I think that, you know, I mean, the film school is really, like, taking off right now. But I love the fact that, you know, I mean, was it Variety Magazine listed us or Hollywood Magazine? I forget which it was.
Variety top
10 film school in the country.
Really?
Top 21.
Top 21? Was it 20? I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I'm a pastor.
Right.
I round up the nearest 100. But top 21 film schools in the country, the only Christian school listed was us, Biola. And I love the fact that these and the studios tell us that they love hiring our students. I say our kids, not supposed to say kids anymore. But they love hiring our students because they show up on time, they're not drunk the night before, they're hardworking. But they also have a undergrad degree with a Bible and minor in theology. I love that. I love that. It makes
it difference. It's true for Caitlin, your daughter. It's true for our three kids who graduated from there, Anders, Ellen, Sam. And one was a humanities major, one was a business major, one was a psychology major, like Caitlin. But if you're an accounting major, pre-med, robotics, engineering, you have that foundation. And this gets back to the point, you know, we were talking about earlier about, like, have colleges lost their way in terms of morality? And I can get back to the firm center, soft edges, but let me add this, and that is, at Biola, we want students to have deeply held beliefs, but we want them to be really good at what they do. I think excellence is one of the great apologetics of our day. If you become an accountant and you're a lousy accountant, but you love Jesus, you might not be listened to as much. But if you're really good at it, then you're going to be paid attention to. And so then when we look at film, when we look at artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. we're going to have one of the first artificial intelligence labs of a Christian college in the United States. When you look at like bioethics, when you look at media, all of these areas, our students need to be at the top of their game when they graduate to get into industry, to get into leading graduate schools, because then they get to be at the table mm-hmm. for these, where some of the bigger decisions are going to be made. And I've joked recently, like, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu, mm-hmm. right? And this is what I want to see in our students, that they have firm centers. In other words, they have a deep sense of conviction, what they believe, and they do have a moral compass. They know what a moral true north is. That our students have soft edges, that they live lives hospitably and kindly and graciously and winsomely. But they're also outstanding screenwriters. Mm-hmm. They're great psychologists. They're leading in healthcare research, whatever it might be. And I think those three together, firm center, soft edges, and excellence in your profession, I think that's going to be a game changer.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Biola Hour. No, I'm kidding. You're listening to Pastor's Perspective. It's sponsored by Biola University beginning today. But
now, we should say that not every episode is going to be talking about Biola.
That's true. No. But we are talking to Ed Stetzer, whom you are familiar with. He's on every few days here on Pastor's Perspective. And Dr. Barry Corey. I got it right that time. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to chat with you guys, too. What's on your mind? 888-564-6173. Want to talk about higher education. Maybe your kids are getting ready to go off to school this year or next year or whenever. Maybe you're listening out of state and you're like, I don't want to send my kids to California. No, they'll be safe here at Biola. But give us a call.
One of the safest campuses in the country.
Yes.
Thank you.
Beautiful campus there in La Mirada. 888-564-6173 is the number to call. Now, something you were mentioning. Yeah, you for kids that are considering, well, am I allowed to say kids? You said I can't say kids.
You know what? They're my daughter's age, so I'm okay. Like, I say kids. So,
right,
you know,
right.
Send me a complaint letter.
Yes.
So
okay, there you
my
go.
My kids' age, so we'll go with that. But our students.
Our students.
Yes.
So prospective students who might be listening and thinking, well, yeah, I could go to Biola. It's a Christian university. What happens when I try to get a job? Are they going to look at my resume or whatever and say, oh, a graduate of a Christian university, I don't think I want to go in that direction? And some people might think, no, it's better to have one of the California universities as mm-hmm. on your resume or a diploma from there. What do you say to that?
I think it's a fair question, because I'm asked that a lot. And I travel quite a bit internationally, and I know that families in other countries that want to send their kids to the United States to school, they want the rank school, the elite mm-hmm. school, the school that shows up on U.S. News and World Report in top tier. And I get all of that. Kind of my response is a couple fold. One is when it comes to actually getting jobs or getting into good graduate schools, it has far less to do with the ranking or the eliteness of your alma mater mm-hmm. than it does, did you have internships and jobs related to your major during your time when you were an undergraduate? That's what matters. That's what people are paying attention to in terms of grad schools and industry. So, you know, we have a very active program. We want all of our students to have internships. Hopefully their freshman year, if not, at least their sophomore, junior, senior year, that's related to their major. Some automatically do it if you're an accounting major, education major, nursing major, that happens. Others, if you're an English major, history major, philosophy major, theology major, might be have to think about it a little bit differently. But so I would say make sure your kids, there you go, are getting internships when they go off to a Christian college. And there are a lot of great, great Christian colleges. There are 150 or so in the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities and even more. So I'm saying this in general, I'm an advocate of Christian higher education. And the other thing I would say is what I said earlier is like if you are going to loan yourself to a community for those four formative years, think about more than just like getting a job 3 months after college. It's what kind of life are you living 30 years after college? The decisions you make, the friendships that you form, the mentors that have poured themselves into you. I mean, get a college degree. I advocate for it. It's such a great thing. But when you if you have an opportunity to and Christian college is not for everybody. Mm-hmm. And there are great Christian ministries at other colleges, secular and public. But I believe that every potential college student should give a serious look to a Christian university as part of their
portfolio.
Yeah,
and we would frame it in two ways. College isn't for everyone. You know, there's wonderful opportunities that are out there as well. And a Christian college isn't necessarily for everyone. I will tell you that as, you know, I was the dean at Wheaton College before I came here to Biola University. I've just been here about 9 months. I sent my daughter to Biola because of the great reputation and great work that Biola's doing. So I'm probably biased in this as well. But I do think that taking a look at that is I think part of the journey for all of us. And this is some of our calls are going to relate to this as well. Let me remind you, our phone number is 888-564-6173. Give us a call. We're talking about higher education. Ask questions about Biola or higher education in general. Again, it's 888-564-6173.
We do have a call here from Litya in Pomona, California. Hi there. Thanks for calling Pastor's Perspective.
Hi. Thank you for taking me.
Yeah, you bet.
So my question was, my daughter graduated from high school in 2020. Mm. And, of course, that was the year that everyone had to go online and students were not on campus. So in the effect of being home and trying to engage in college was not a success for her. So she tried, I think she started the first semester and completed it, and then the second semester ended up not completing it. So she's been home tinkering with going to JC and other forms of education, but working and doing internships and, you know, a myriad of things. Now she's a mature 22-year-old and looking at going back to college, but I don't know what her questions are because we haven't got those formulated from her yet. But my encouragement to her was, hey, these students would love you to be on campus with them. You'd be a great mentor. So I don't know what the parameters are if you allow at Biola or, you know, students to come live on campus, or obviously I'm sure you do, you know, what kind of other programs are available for students that are at that age.
Yeah, thanks, Litya. Wonderful for you to ask that question. And, you know, your daughter's situation is not that extraordinary. We have students that take a gap year or two gap years before coming to college after they leave high school. Some of them go abroad. Some of them are working. Some of them are doing community service. Some of them are just trying to figure things out. So, you know, at places like Biola or any other private college, there are opportunities for, you know, students who are a little bit older to mentor, to get involved as RAs, to lead organizations. They don't necessarily have to live on campus. They might want to live with some, you know, juniors, seniors that are maybe closer to their age. So, you know, if you're 42, it might be a little bit of a different story. But I certainly think that your daughter should, you know, come explore, ask questions, have the admissions team, whatever the school is, introduce her to students that are a lot like her. And I think she'd find more students like her than she might imagine.
Yeah, that was a question that I was going to ask, too. Is there an age limit? Like if somebody listening maybe is in their 40s and mm-hmm. they're thinking, yeah, this is something I always wanted to go to college. Is it too late for me?
No. There's all kinds of options. The question is, I mean, she was asking about like living on campus. And right. So that's where some of the distinction is. But we have this really robust, like if someone wanted to do an undergraduate degree online, you know, mm-hmm. we have a robust undergrad program that they could major with us at the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. You know, university has schools. So sometimes we'll talk about this school or that school, the Snyder School of Cinema Media Arts, for example. So a lot of students who are older will pursue the route that's online or maybe take some night classes or things of that sort. My mother did that. So that's not an uncommon thing. Living on campus, typically where her daughter is, her daughter is, that's still within the age range where we have. I was just walking and had a student come up to me who's a freshman at 22, like yesterday. So it's pretty common to live on campus.
So be encouraged, Litya.
Yeah, be encouraged.
For sure. And thanks for calling us today on Pastor's Perspective. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with more of your questions for Dr. Barry Corey and Dr. Ed Stetzer from Biola University. You can find out more about Biola, by the way, at biola.edu. But they are on today to answer whatever questions you might have about higher education. Give us a call at 888-564-6173. Might take some other questions as well, but that's the principal focus of today's program. 888-564-6173. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, give us a call. The number's right there on the bottom of the screen, 888-564-6173. We are back on Pastor's Perspective, sponsored by Biola University, ranked as the most comprehensively Christian university in North America. I'm Brian Perez, and we've got a couple of guys from Biola University here today. We've got Dr. Ed Stetzer, the Dean of the Talbot School of Theology at Biola. You hear him regularly on Pastor's Perspective now, and you're going to hear him even more. Plus, he's on Saturday mornings on our flagship radio station, K-Wave, 9 o'clock, the Ed Stetzer Live program, which comes to us from the Moody Radio Network. So tune in. You can call in and talk to Ed, not at the same phone. Well, today you can call Ed at 888-564-6173. Tomorrow it's an entirely different phone number, but call today. And Dr. Barry Corey is here, too. He's the president of Biola University, and we would love to chat with you about whatever's on your mind, mostly about higher education. If you've got questions like that, maybe you're a high schooler, maybe you're a student right now at another college, and you're wondering, should I transfer to Biola? We'd love to hear from you at 888.
Very specific, Brian.
Hey, that one person out there. 888-564-6173. Now, my sponsorship that I read, Dr. Corey, Biola is ranked as the most comprehensively Christian university in North America. Explain that.
No, Barry actually ranked it. It was Barry's list. No, it's kind of fascinating. It's a full story. It's a big deal.
Well,
so it's not like some random fact. Not that I would think that you would do that. I mean, there's a reason you specifically chose this phrase.
Well, this is, I don't know if I said that on this show.
No, you did not. That actually came from our marketing team.
Okay.
So they sent in the copy for that.
Yeah.
But, of course, they're talking about the...
Yeah, so there's lots of rankings that are going on out there. But this study came out of Baylor University. It had been going on for a number of years through a Baylor Center of American Religion. I can't remember exactly the name of it. What it did was it took 12 different metrics, the team of researchers did, and gave a grade to 570 different religiously oriented colleges and universities in the United States and Canada. And that grade was between the 0 and 27.
Okay.
And again, we had nothing to do with this. We were minding our own business. But when the results came out, Biola was scored 26, the only school that got a 26. And so it was 26. And again, I wasn't part of the research team, but there's a book that goes along with it. And just, I think it's not about comparing so much as it is like we are working hard to be faithful to the founding vision of Biola while also being relevant to the world around us.
Nice. 888-564-6173 is the number to call. Now, we've also got some audio clips.
This is going to be fun.
Yes. Tell us about
these
clips.
The big reveal of these. So during, this partnership has a few aspects to it. One of those things is that I've already been a regular guest, but here on Pastor's Perspective. So to hear about Biola, the beginning and the middle of each Pastor's Perspective will be the sponsor. I'll be on once a week or somebody from Biola. I think I talked to Sean McDowell coming on soon and several others.
Good.
And then throughout the day, Lance Emmer, you're an amazing leader here at K-Wave. There's going to be, I guess you call them like PSAs, public service announcements, and they're going to just run at different times with different professors from the Talbot School of Theology who are talking about, well, let's take a listen to one from Dominic Hernandez. Let's roll it.
How do we see the Jewishness of Jesus on the pages of a Greek New Testament? Well, it's by what he said. Jesus, several times in the Gospels, says, "Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God," or something like this. But Jesus didn't say it in Greek. Jesus said it in Hebrew. He was speaking to other Jewish people. And when he said it in Hebrew, he said, "Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, and you will love the Lord your God, b'chol levavcha, with all of your heart, b'chol nafshecha, with all of your soul, uvechon meldecha, with all of your everything. Now you may recognize that quote from the Old Testament. Yes, that's a quote from the book of Deuteronomy. But Jesus adds something to this quote in the Gospels. Jesus says, ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. You see, for Jesus, loving God and loving neighbor go together. If you are a lover of God, think today about how you might be able to better love your neighbor. Is there a way or two in which you may be able to love your neighbor better if you are a lover of God? My name is Dominic Hernandez. I teach Old Testament and Semitics at Talbot School of Theology, Biola University, and I'm also the director of the Spanish language program, Talbot en Español.
So that's super fun. So those will like run during the day, a few times each day, and they're just kind of be like a biblical admonition or exhortation or something. And of course, Dominic Hernandez should be familiar to some of our listeners. He's a Calvary Chapel background.
Yep.
He's also freakishly smart. He speaks modern Hebrew, lived in Israel, ancient Hebrew. And so so those will just kind of, we call them two-minute Talbots, and those will kind of pop up during the day as people will listen. So I'm kind of, I don't know, I think it'll be kind of cool, and you'll hear from, we have just amazing men and women who are part of our faculty team there, and they'll just be a part of just little exhortations through the day from the Talbot School of Theology. Also in the partnership, I think we're working on the radio program for Saturdays. That's our communications team working on that. You know, and I think that's everything, right? I think that's all of it. So
that's all so far.
So far. Who knows?
So there's more.
Who
yeah.
knows? Well,
yeah.
we love Calvary Chapel yeah. Costa Mesa.
That's right.
So it's
a fun
connection between the two. I'll ask one more question, then we can go to our calls. So one of the things that is in California, it's a challenge, is, and well, in America today, I mean, there's significant pressure to move away from biblical truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that. We feel there have been times of threats to I met with my member of Congress when I was in Wheaton, and he wants to defund the participation of Christian colleges to like the Pell Grants or things of that sort. So I guess the question would be, how do you seek to navigate that and maintain a biblical commitments that are so important to be a Christian college, recognizing the culture is pushing against some of these things?
Well, that's so I've only lived in two states. I've lived in Massachusetts and California. So I've skipped all the easy ones in the middle.
Let's go to Tennessee.
Yeah. And I both states, 16 years working at a very conservative seminary in Massachusetts, and now finishing up my 17th year at Biola University as a conservative higher education institution in California. And I had somebody call me some time ago, and they said, how can you stand being the president of a Christian college in California? And there's days that I actually can't.
but
by and large—
We're glad you still do, though,
yes,
yeah.
for the record.
But isn't this where the gospel works?
Yeah.
I mean,
right?
This is where things that are true and godly, glorious, just kind of shine forth. And so at Biola, our whole approach is we're not going to be angry. We're not going to be defensive. We're not going to be insular. We're just going to keep on being who we are. And this gets back to Firm Center Soft Edges in a gracious way and build relationships. Some of you who are listening remember Senate Bill 1146 that came up a few years ago that was dead set on making it very difficult for Christian colleges in the state of California. And there are dozens of us, various stripes, denominational and non-denominational and small, large, urban, rural. But it was going to make it very difficult for us. And so our approach was, let's go and let's have conversations with some of these lawmakers so that they have a chance to see more of who we are.
Mm.
And that actually, I can't go into the detail, but, you know, I wrote an op-ed with one of the authors of that bill that said, we first battled over LGBT and religious rights. Here's how we became friends. It was in the Washington Post. And and things have, like, quieted down in California, because I think that we find that there's common bonds in terms of, like, what are some things that we actually agree on? Well, we agree that, like, maybe veterans should have good places to live. So let's work on that together, that rather than just working on what we're disagreeing on. But I say all of that realizing that we are not going to change our positions in thinking biblically and acting biblically and living into our biblical convictions. And there may be hard times coming, and we're going to be ready for it. We're beginning with a relational strategy, but that can't be your only strategy. You need a legislative strategy. You need a legal strategy. You need a prayer strategy. You need a communication strategy. But our whole thing is we are going to be who we are, and we're going to be distinctive, not indistinctive. We're going to stand out, not blend in. I use algebraically. We're trying to go from not X to Y, which a lot of schools I think have done. We're going from X to X squared. We want to be deeper and better at who we are. And I think that's what our world needs. And so I was actually in Washington, D.C. A few months ago and had a chance to spend about 30 minutes with Justice Alito and Justice Kavanaugh, just a one-on-one meeting with them. And they're asking that same question, like, how's it going in California? Because these are two Catholic jurists that are conservative. They care deeply about religious freedom. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I thank them for standing for religious freedom because we need that. And it seems like the Supreme Court will stand with us on that. But they're also saying, like, we care about institutions like yours and the pluralism of American higher education and the great landscape of college and university. We need to have colleges like yours. You need to be protected. And even when this Title IX stuff came out today, that was a pretty big deal. And I did make a note that...
just so people are aware, Title IX is a series of rules. It goes back a long time where it really promoted women in sports. And it was a key... that's not all that was to it, but that part of it. And today, the Biden administration kind of brought forth their long-awaited changes to the rules, which we're still trying to figure out quite what they mean, because Christian colleges have some exemptions that are here. But boy, it puts in a situation where you know, women's sports are in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. We've all seen this on the news. Yet the Biden administration continues pressing forward on this really radical agenda on issues of gender identity. And it's, again, let me be clear. There's more to Title IX. There's things in Title IX that are important. They're mm-hmm. legal provisions that related to things like assaults on campus. But the redefinition of sex to mean gender and gender identity it's big news. And I don't think there's a lot of news on the news today, but that's a big deal for universities.
Of course it is. And we're going to, we do have a relational contact with legislators and jurists, but we're going to fight for what we believe to be true. And right now that new Title IX, they did not weaken the exemptions that schools like Biola we can assert when the law conflicts with our religious faith, our tenets, and that's huge. But that said, there's still questions out there that the Department of Education hasn't fully answered on whether colleges can ban biological male athletes who have transitioned, and that jury is still out, so nothing has happened yet. I think they have 150,000 public comments they're trying to sort through before they make that decision. But right now, nothing has changed. I guess that's the good news. Mm-hmm. But
where it was before wasn't great, right? It's not gone further.
It's not gone further.
But really, just, you know, again, a place where Christian colleges do have exemptions to this, though there has been discussions in the past of waiving some of or eliminating some of those exemptions. But for now, but when that comes, Biola University will be among those who say we're going to stand for what's right, regardless of
absolutely
what impacts it as well.
Absolutely.
Very good. 888-564-6173 is our number. We were going to go to Calvin, but he hung up, so we'll talk to Clay instead. And our guests, by the way, are Drs. Ed Stetzer and Barry Corey. Ed is the dean of the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University, and Barry is Ed's boss.
He's the president
of Biola University. They are here to talk to you today, and let's talk to Clay right now, listening in Anaheim, California. Welcome to the program, Clay.
Hello. I'm an alumni, graduated in 85, and I've been on campus, you know, since that time, but I saw...
Wait, hold on.
Wait, we lost you.
We lost you. You must have walked under a tunnel or something. I don't know. Try again.
Oh.
So you went back to the campus.
Yeah, and can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and I saw, like, openly gay and lesbian relationships on campus. So I also read and heard about, Azusa and Biola, and they've all gone, like, woke and progressive in their allowing LGBTQ students
mm-hmm.
on campus. Is there, like, a reason for that?
Boy, that's a fascinating whiplash from the conversation we were just having about the price and the cost that it takes actually to stand up for some of these biblical issues. But Clay, you're kind of fading in and out, but I think two big things. Saw students who, I don't know what it means, they were in an LGBTQ plus relationship because, well, let's talk about that. Because first of all, we do have students who are same-sex attracted who come to Biola University. Yeah. We want Biola University to be a place where they can flourish, where they can walk through, hear the teachings. We have covenants and commitments that they make as followers of Jesus to be there. So let's talk some about that. And again, it was kind of broad that APU and Biola were woke. Again, quite the whiplash from the conversation we were just having. So talk to us, where are we on issues of sexuality at Biola University?
Yeah, so, you know, Clay, glad to have you as one of our graduates from back in the 1980s. I've been at Biola now for 17 years, and I can honestly say that Biola is staying completely biblical as it relates to human sexuality, as it relates to historical marriage, as it relates to relationships. So what your observations or stories you have heard might have been the case, I know that, you know, there are students that do come to Biola and they're trying to process their own sexuality in ways, but some of them come because they feel like this is a place that actually holds to the convictions that I believe to be true and thinks about things Christianly. And so every one of our students covenants with us when they come that they're not going to be, you know, in sexual relationships outside of marriage, a marriage between a man and a woman, that is abundantly clear. It's for our faculty, for our staff, that has always been the case. And I think we have certainly thoughtful conversations about what does this really mean and how do we live into this, but we live into it in a way that is consistent with what the Bible teaches to be true. And happy to have you come on campus and even, you know, talk to some of our faculty and some of our students and give you an opportunity to hear how we're really processing this in a way that is faithful to Scripture and upholds the sexual ethics that God intended us to live by.
Which is a big part of the challenge we were having with those earlier bills that were actually legal issues because of our biblical stand on some of these issues. Now, again, we're for, you know, we can't speak for every university in Southern California around here. We're for universities that are holding to their Christian commitment. And you know, and sometimes it's one of the things that may help people understand a little bit how universities work is that we're what's called broadly a covenant school. So a covenant school means that someone has to be a Christian to go to or has to proclaim that they're a Christian. We don't think that everyone who comes to Biola, we think people meet Jesus when they're there. But there are other Christian schools that are not covenant schools, and we're not mad at them. You know, my other daughter goes to Cal Baptist, which is a wonderful
open admission,
school. It's called open admission. So we don't practice open admission, where us, you have to have a testimony to attend. And, you know, discipleship's part of the expectation that's there. And to get to Clay's point, too, and discipleship in and around sexual ethics as well is part of it. We have resources for students who are struggling there as well. So sometimes schools will, when they have open admission, they don't have the same requirements that we have. And let me just say that when I talk to the folks at Cal Baptist, their desire is to invite every student to come in and share the gospel with them. And I love that about
them.
And so, you know, different schools will have kind of different policies. But I think the schools that we engage with, the Christian schools that we engage with, are going to be pretty consistent about their issues of Christian ethics around sexuality. However, they're also going to be pretty clear that students who struggle with same-sex attraction are welcome. And right now, according to the most recent, I think it was the Pew study, it was one of those, you know, over about 25% of 20-something young women identify as LGBTQ+. And so what we want to do is not shy away from those conversations. We just had a speaker that addressed some of these issues. And I think, isn't Rebecca McLaughlin coming in the fall as well? I just had her on my podcast. And and I'll give you an example. Rebecca's coming in the fall to speak. And we had the podcast, and she has a new book on same-sex relationships. She's same-sex attracted. She's married to a man. And I opened the question with, you know, Rebecca, is this an agree to disagree? Like, can Christians, like, can we say, you know, you think same-sex marriage is okay, and I don't think same-sex marriage is okay, and let's just put it in the category of, like, baptism. Some people baptize babies, or Pentecostalism. Some people mm-hmm. speak in tongues. And her first answer, which I share, was no, this is an issue that is really central to the biblical teaching as well. And I think that'd be reflected on the campus of Biola University as well. But Clay, I appreciate your call. We're glad that you are a member of our alumni. He's a member of our alumni, plural.
Yeah, sure he is.
And
yeah.
I hope that answers your question, both from the president and the new dean of the Talbot School of Theology. I think of Talbot in some ways as the, I don't know, I want to be careful to say too much, but it's we're helping keep the theological compass there as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, every one of our faculty members who comes, first of all, I interview every ongoing full-time faculty member at their entrance, and the provost does as well. And that's the last step of many interviews, but every one of them really has to go through kind of a rigorous, thoughtful, theological discussion on their own biblical understanding, doctrinal review. And it's not just that, it's how do they integrate that into the ways in which they're teaching. And we have ongoing integration, thoughtful formation processes for our faculty, so that if you're teaching chemistry or if you're teaching special ed, like, how do you continue to think deeply and Christianly about your discipline? And so it's a journey that starts when they begin, and we've had faculty members there 30, 40 years, and it's never ending. We keep on driving back towards that theological core, which we've had since we were the Bible Institute of Los Angeles.
Yeah, and you have to actually, all the professors, it's pretty robust. Like, it's very different from, I mean, again, we're all for all kinds of Christian universities. But I will tell you, if you're the dean, it's way more robust than that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because, again, these are important issues for us to kind of walk through together. So I think it's you want to be able to say of our Christian universities that they're staying faithful to the gospel. However, there's a very famous book called The Dying of the Light. And historically, I mean, Harvard and Yale were started as robust Christian institutions. So institutions that aren't aggressively holding their line on theological issues drift. And one of the things that I just think we're committed to at Biola, you know, is the robust integration of faith and learning. And we're an evangelical Christian institution, and that's one of the reasons I'm glad to be here. And
drift happens. I mean, it does. And you never drift towards Christ-centeredness.
Yeah.
You drift in the other direction. And unless you're faithful about small decisions and big decisions, drift is kind of innocuous. It happens like if you look at a compass with 360 degrees and you're off by 1 degree, over time that gap gets pretty wide.
Yep.
So we're always having conversations about how do we remain missionally faithful. Now in our 117th year we're in at Biola University, and that's pretty remarkable 117 years later from when our founders said we need to have a Christian college in arguably the world's most globalized city. It was the gateway to so much that was happening, and has become really the imagination epicenter of the world. Here in Los Angeles, you have this thoughtful, mid-sized American Christian university that is one of the safest campuses in terms of in a very safe neighborhood. I say that because a lot of people are sending their kids to Los Angeles. What's it going to be like for them?
Right.
But here they are, with the opportunities are abounding, and the influence that our students can have and are having and our alumni are having, it's remarkable.
But enough on that, because I want us to play one of those clips again.
Oh, yes.
I really
we have another
clip. Came with clips.
Which one do you want?
Let's do Jeanine Hanger, because I think it's super fun. And also, Courtney Johnson worked hard on these. She's going to be helping me with the 2-Minute Talbots as well. She works with us there at social media as well. By the way, follow us on social media, Talbot Theology. All of them are at Talbot Theology. But let's listen to Jeanine Hanger, 2-Minute Talbot.
Have you ever thought about the kinds of knowledge that you only have because you are embodied? We tend to think about knowledge as disembodied. We know things in our brains and we talk about them using words. Think about the fur of a kitten. I can show you its fur and I can describe how soft it is with lots of words, but you can't really know how soft a kitten's fur is until you touch for yourself. John 1:14 says about Jesus that he is the Word who became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In the Gospels, we go on to read about how Jesus engaged people up close. He touches a man with leprosy and he is cleansed. He touches the hand of Peter's mother-in-law and her fever leaves. He washes his best friend's grimy, smelly feet. Have you ever thought about how Jesus disrupted the tactile standards and expectations of his day? He doesn't shy away from engaging up close with those whom society deems untouchable. In so doing, he expresses a level of compassion that cannot be conveyed any other way. How beautiful that none of us are untouchable to him. My name is Jeanine Hanger, and I teach New Testament at Talbot School of Theology, Biola University.
Come on, those are going to be so cool. All great. Day.
I'd never heard of those before.
No, we just created them.
No,
so,
I love
it. Courtney Johnson just put them together like moments ago.
Love it.
And, you know,
there's
we're going to do some tweaking where, you know, got to figure out what music we're going to use and all that kind of stuff. But these will be, you know, between programs. You got great programs all day here on K-Wave and our partners and affiliates. So, between those programs, you'll hear those. And from some of our brilliant scholars, we have like 60 plus professors just in Talbot alone. It's really a large theological school because of the commitment the university has to have that, you know, 30 hours to the undergrad students do the 30 hours. And plus, it's the fifth largest multi-denominational seminary in the world. We had that one guy who was 71 years old. He said he wanted to come study. Well, we'd bring him on. We've got all kinds of adult students. We've got all kinds of resources as well. And again, all these biola.edu, good stuff going on.
I saw that the student to faculty ratio is 13 to 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, so and that's every... you know, when we kind of, you talk about the rankings and you know, we do make like the top 100 universities, national universities. There's only a couple of Christian schools that get on those lists. So Biola's, you know, I was at.
But we were voted the lamest party school in California.
We were the lamest party school. And you see, we were also recently on the most conservative like schools, and it's, you know, and okay, you know, we want to just use the word conservative around. We're biblical inerrantists. We believe the authority of God's word shapes everything that we do. Sometimes people can see that 50 different ways, but we love standing on God's word and educating young men and young women to make a difference for the gospel. Or in case of 71-year-old who left, who didn't make that call. Older people as well. So we have all those resources.
Thank you,
well.
Brian. Thank you, Ed.
Hey, thanks for
sure.
On the program.
Find out more about Biola University at biola.edu. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week to answer your questions on the Bible, the Christian faith, just about anything that's on your mind. Follow us on social media, and we'll talk to you on Monday. But before that, we'll see you at church on Sunday. For Ed Stetzer and Barry Corey, I'm Brian Perez, and Pastor's Perspective was sponsored by Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa and Biola University, ranked as the most comprehensively Christian university in North America.
Equipping the saints with sound biblical instruction. This is K-Wave 107.9.